I am Bill Castle, and this is Free Expression. This program is all about conveying the Christian message from a Catholic point of view and defending the liberty which makes it possible to do that. We talk with creative, interesting people using humor to communicate the faith to young people and alerting children to the dangers of censorship and biased information. Join us. Sit back and enjoy some free expression. John Solomon is a practitioner of old-fashioned journalism. That's the kind of straight reporting that separates factual news from editorial bias. It's what I learned in journalism school, but it's become increasingly rare nowadays. Solomon has brought that approach to his reports on some of today's biggest scandals, including the infamous Russiagate hoax and the dubious comings and goings of Hunter Biden. He's editor-in-chief of the online journal Just the News. He believes that news consumers need to discern between fact and opinion, and that no one is too young to begin learning how to do that. Consequently, he's written a children's book about news called Hidden Headlines. It's a mystery story aimed at kids age 4 to 12, and it's published by Brave Books. John Solomon, thank you so much for being with us.
It is a great honor to be with you. Great to join you.
Seeing through propaganda is a pretty subtle and sophisticated concept to lay on kids. How do you go about doing that in this book?
That is a great question. And listen, this all starts a couple of years ago, because as a reporter, I watched my own reporting on Hunter Biden, on some of the things about the origins of the COVID virus get censored, first by my own profession, then by big tech companies, social media companies. And I saw no outrage, and I was surprised. But I'm like, censorship is anathema in America. Why is nobody upset? And then I began to go on a path of self-discovery, and I discovered that there were two generations of young adults that have gone through the school systems in America, not all of them, but many of them, and they weren't taught the same civics lessons I learned. They weren't taught about the Bill of Rights. They didn't have schoolhouse rocks on Saturday morning. They weren't told why the First Amendment was first to the Founding Fathers, and they weren't told that free speech was important to our constitutional republic or the free exercise of religion. In some cases, some of the young people I interviewed, as I was trying to figure out why there was an outrage, told me their educators actually told them there could be instances where the government would censor its people, and that would be good for the larger collective. I don't know what the larger collective means. It sounded like a Star Trek term, but it was shocking to understand that. And I realized what there are two or three generations that haven't had the same education experience I was blessed to have when I went to Catholic schools. And so we ended up, I made a mental note, and then Brave Books, a pro-America, pro-God book company came and said, John, we'd like you to write a book. Do you have any ideas? I said, I know exactly what I do. I want to create a fun, engaging storyline for children that tells the story of why free speech is important, why it matters, why it's important to the American experience. And we got to, you know, we got to make it tangible. So we came up with these great animal characters. Seymour Clues is a detective dog who solves the caper in this particular story. There's Mr. Mouse. There's Mrs. P, the peacock. And then I contributed a family member to the characters. I have my son, who's autistic, has a hamster he got a couple of years ago. And this hamster at some point became famous on social media, started trending on social media because I had made a little mistake in my life. My wife and son had gone away from vacation. They gave me one mission: feed the hamster chunk and don't lose the hamster. Well, I fed the hamster, left the door open maybe a minute too long, and the hamster got out. And for 4 or 5 hours, with a stethoscope, I went along the floorboards of my house until I could find my son's hamster. I scooped him up and put him back in the cage. I thought I had dodged a bullet. And then the next day, my co-host on television told the world, which means my wife found out, and then I was in big trouble. So we said, we're going to make Chunk the hamster one of the fun animal characters here. And Chunk is a newspaper editor in a fictional hamster town called Starlot City on the fictional island of Freedom Island, where many of Brave Books are based. And he can't get his newspaper out because somebody clogs the tubes in his cage in the hamster village. And so the newspaper can't go through the tubes. The tubes, obviously, are an allegory for adults, for social media and what happened over the last few years. And then the dog detective, Seymour Clues, comes in. He solves the mystery. He discovers that a mean koala bear named Carl is clogging up the tubes because he has a plot to flood the city. He doesn't want people to know. And they get the tubes and clog just in time to save the hamster village. And so that's how you take a very adult subject and you bring it down to children's level. And we've just had a ton of fun sharing the story, reading the story with children. And of course, the book that Brave Books did, the illustrations are just gorgeous.
Yeah, I would imagine that for kids coming to the realization that somebody might be interested in misleading them is kind of shocking. I mean, most parents tell their kids that it's the right thing to tell the truth. But when they're first faced with the idea of being misled, it must kind of put them off balance.
Yeah, that's why you want to ease into it. It's a lot easier to understand a clogged tube than maybe the deception of someone who's trying to get you to do something that you may not want or block you from doing something that you wanted to do. But I think the animal characters they make it really interesting. And it's really fun. When I kicked off the book tour a few weeks ago, I went to the Land of Liberty. I went to the home of the American Experience, Philadelphia, where our Declaration of Independence was born, and the Constitutional Congress had its great debates, and the shaping of the country. And today, Philadelphia is a city in great strife. It has a lot of problems. But parents by the hundreds came and hung out with myself and Kirk Cameron, the TV actor, and we read the book. I think we did about 9 sessions between us of reading the book to parents. And the children were very keen very early on. You know, you do some pop quizzes as you're reading. Who do you think the bad guy's going to be? And they instantly picked up it's going to be Carl the Koala. So they were able to, I think, process internally the message from the simplification of just having animals play out a storyline. But it was really fun to watch the kids' response and get their questions afterwards about, you know, why would someone want to do that? And we should never want to clog tubes again. And so it really had a wonderful give and take when I had the chance to sit with children and read the book to them.
Well, that's great. Stepping back from the subject of children for a minute, what's your take on how we've gotten here? I mean, certainly the idea of playing to political advantage is nothing new, and news outlets in this country have had a political orientation from the very beginning. But when I was a newspaper reporter, which I was briefly, the small paper on which I worked had very clean guidelines about what we could and couldn't do as regards being involved with parties or political groups. They had a recognizable editorial stance, but they made an honest effort to try and separate news from opinion. And now it seems that all that has gone away.
Yeah, I think you are so perceptive. I really believe that is what's happening. I think the dynamic is those same one or two generations of young people that came out of the school system, didn't have those civics lessons, have now embedded themselves in journalism organizations. They've embedded themselves in the FBI. They've embedded themselves in federal agencies, in local governments, and all across this country. And the indoctrination that they got in schools, the messaging they got in schools, they've now taken in to all of these workplaces, particularly consequential workplaces like the FBI. And they don't see a problem. Let's just use an example that isn't media, but I broke the story and it got into the media, became a story. The FBI had no problem writing a memo. A young intelligence analyst had no problem writing a memo suggesting that Catholics who prefer the Latin Rite mass posed an extremist threat, or that people who oppose abortion pose an extreme threat, so much so that their home should be raided with SWAT teams, even though their crime may have been very minor, or the alleged crime had been very minor. That same mindset that has shocked us a few times in recent years with the FBI is in newsrooms. The young people have taken over the newsrooms, and they brought their ideology with them. And they've kind of bowled over more senior and more experienced journalists with the ethos that maybe came from a different generation. And now the reporters are calling the shots in a lot of these things. And we saw this very recently in the New York Times newsroom, where there was a big outcry over how the newspaper was going to cover the issue of transgenderism. So there is a cultural revolution that occurred in our schools over the last 10 or 20 years. Most parents may not have seen it until the pandemic came along and they had their children at home and they started to see things. But by the time it was discovered, a lot of the children, who are now adults, brought these new value systems, which are different than the American value systems of the first 240 years of our country, into their workplaces, into the newsrooms, into the FBI, into the Homeland and HHS Department, where earlier this week there was an effort to extinguish a candle in a famous Catholic church just because it used natural gas. No regard for the free expression and of faith that it should be guaranteed in that practice. And so that is the moment. That's why civics lessons and the lessons we're trying to deliver in this book and that Brave Books delivers every month are so important.
Yeah, we've covered Brave Books before. I interviewed Trent Talbot, and those folks are doing some interesting things, bringing out a whole approach to children's literature that's very unique and very effective. It's quite impressive. Well, look, if anybody is interested in getting your book or looking at any of the others in the Brave Books library, where can they go?
Well, this is a really fun opportunity because this month, Brave Books is going to give my book away free if someone subscribes to their book club, their monthly book club, because they put out a new book like this every month. And so not many things you get free in this economy today with the inflation the way it is. But if you go to bravebooks.us, bravebooks.us, you can also go to bravebooks.com if that's easy for you to remember. You can buy the book a la carte or you can get it free if you want to subscribe to their book club. Either way is a great way to do it. These books not only have a storyline, they have some lessons at the back of the book that parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles can share to extend the message of the book and to provide a fun exercise and kind of fill in the gaps of maybe some things that are no longer being taught in our great education system.
Hidden Headlines, a Seymour Clues mystery. And that character name is great, Seymour Clues, by John Solomon. Thanks very much for being with us.
It's a great honor to be with you. Thank you for paying attention to the book. It's a great pleasure for that.
Religion is a serious business. It shapes our lives and confronts us with difficult questions and formidable challenges. But seriousness isn't always the most effective way to address religious topics or moral problems. Jesus himself proved that. In numerous passages, the Bible shows him using humor to make some profound point. The famous lines about casting the first stone or rendering unto Caesar are perfect examples of the Lord's sharp wit. Catholic Central is a media apostolate that takes a humorous approach to religious instruction. In an assortment of funny videos available online, a talented cast of young performers brings a light touch to apologetics and catechesis. Father David Guffey is National Director of Family Theater Productions, the organization behind Catholic Central, and he's here to tell us about this unique humor ministry. Father Guffey, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Bill. It's really good to be on your show.
Give us a little background on Family Theater, if you would, and also on Catholic Central.
Sure. Family Theater Productions is a media ministry of Holy Cross Family Ministries. Family Theater was founded in 1947 by Venerable Patrick Peyton. He came to Hollywood in the fall of 1946 with the idea that he would start a radio show. And by February of 1947, he had a radio show on the air called Family Theater of the Air. It was on for 20 years. And the tagline of that radio show was, "The family that prays together stays together." That phrase, which probably everybody knows, originated with us and our radio show. Well, we did radio for a long time, but since then we've moved to other forms of media, of course. We've done films and television over the years, and we do films and television now. But one of the things that we do is outreach through the internet, especially through YouTube and social media. A couple years ago, we were looking at how people learn. We were looking especially at where young people go to get their questions answered. The first place they go is the internet, and at the time, the first place they were going was to YouTube. If you want to know how to fix a clock, you go to YouTube. If you want to know how to repair something, you go to YouTube.
Right.
So kids were going to YouTube, and at the time, there wasn't much on there that addressed catechetical issues. We also talked with some educators, and they pointed out that when the subjects are taught with humor, people are more attentive, and they retain the information longer. So we kind of took that and put together this show where we took key aspects of Catholic faith, doctrine, scripture, spirituality, sacraments, culture, and we divided them up into topics. We hired entertainment writers who were Catholic. We got a crew of theologians and priests to review the scripts at stages along the way. And we put together this show called Catholic Central. And in each episode, a young person, or anybody really, can pick a topic and in 5 to 7 minutes get an introduction to that topic with some of the most important points, and we hope be a little bit entertained along the way.
Yeah, the videos are very entertaining. they're done with a definite light touch. You've got an energetic young cast, and I wouldn't call them irreverent at all, but I would call them, you know, pretty casual in their approach.
Yeah, the shows are scripted, but we have great young Catholics that were excited to be part of it, and we have a lot of fun with putting it on, and we've gotten just such a wonderful response from religious educators and parents, as well as from kids themselves.
Now, you're located in California, which, of course, is a wonderful pool of talent right at hand, but we also think of Hollywood as sort of Babylon on the beach. Is it kind of an awkward situation for you to be offering a traditional faith message right there in Southern California?
You know, I came to California 18 years ago when my religious order asked me to come out here, and I thought I was going to mission territory, and in some ways I am. There's no doubt that there's forces that are hostile to the Christian message out here. But I found out something else, and that is that there are so many people of faith, so many talented people in the entertainment and media industry at all levels who so want to do things that they can be proud of, that their families can they can show to their families and share with their families. For example, when we put out a casting notice for a couple new hosts, we got over 700 submissions.
Wow.
Of people that wanted to be part of the show. There's lots of goodwill out here and a great desire to use storytelling and the great gift of the cinematic arts to share the faith.
You have a core cast of 4 young people, 2 guys and 2 girls. I assume that they're all professional actors because they certainly know how to present themselves on screen.
They are, and in fact, the show is also available in a Spanish version called Lente Católico. So we have 2 additional hosts that are part of it, too, so they've got a great stable of young hosts that are excited about it.
Where do people find out about it? Is there a central website that will put them onto all of this material?
Yeah, the easiest way to find it is to go to CatholicCentral.com. And there on the website, you'll see the most recent episodes, and really all the episodes are there. The other advantage of going to the website is that for each episode, we have additional resources. Now, we know that these videos, obviously, I have shelves full of books that talk about the topics that are in these shows. So these shows don't cover everything. Our great hope is that they inspire people to go deeper into a topic, and we try to give them ways to do that with links to other videos by other great Catholic sources. And then also some other resources, links to the catechism, links to scripture and other things online, discussion questions. All that's on the website. So that's one way, CatholicCentral.com. The other way is just to go to YouTube. The whole series is absolutely free. It's on YouTube. And just go to Catholic Central. And if you put that in the search window, you'll find the channel and all the videos that are available.
How is this material being used? I mean, people can certainly view these videos individually, but might they be incorporated into religious education classes or confirmation programs, that sort of thing?
Yeah, there's a number of ways that people have told us that they use the series. We have a lot of individuals that use them, and they're looking at they wonder about the Immaculate Conception, or they wonder about confession, and they Google it and find it that way. But we have a number of religious educators who tell us that they incorporate these into their lesson plans. We've tried to help them. On the website, for example, there's a guide that breaks down the shows available by unit. So, the scripture unit, the sacrament unit, the spirituality unit, so that a teacher could build lesson plans around that. And we've had lots of teachers that told us they did. Especially during COVID, when a lot of schools were closed for a period of time. A lot of teachers required their students to watch these videos, and then they watched more on their own, too. So we really grew quite a lot during COVID. In addition, we've had a number of dioceses, Miami, New York, Los Angeles, that have listed these as official resources on their websites. So even dioceses have recognized the value of them. Mm. Now, the videos, our target audience for the videos was really high school, but they, our audience is skewed older, really like 18 to 30 is our biggest audience, which is great. That's a great audience to try to reach. But what we're also finding is that even people that are older like these as a start. So we have people that do Rite of Christian Initiation of Adults, RCIA, which is the process by which someone enters the church as an adult. RCIA teams are using the videos as well. It's been wonderful to hear the response and hear people talk about how they've been useful in bringing people to the faith and waking up the faith in their lives.
Yeah, well, I'm quite a bit older than a high schooler, I can assure you, and I find them very amusing and very informative. I think it's a very fresh approach and very effective.
Thank you.
CatholicCentral.com is the connection. Father David Guffey of Family Theater Productions, thanks very much for taking a few minutes and talking about this. This is a great approach. I really think that a lot of people can connect with it.
That's our great hope, and that's our prayer, and we've got new ones that are coming out all the time now, so I really appreciate you letting people know about it, and I hope that people will take a look.
Here's an illustration of how humor can make religious or moral points.
Now, way back in the garden, you could see the way that things would be. God said, "You can have it all, but stay away from my apple tree." And so the seeds of self-deception were planted there that day. They blamed a simple compulsion to try and wash their guilt away. Oh, it's just a simple compulsion, the kind you had before. It's just a simple compulsion, like a kid in a candy store. It's just a longing, yearning, craving that you live with night and day. It's just a simple compulsion that washes all the guilt away. When Salome did her dance, you would not believe the things they said. Well, Herod lost his cool, but John the Baptist really lost his head. But now a promise is a promise, said Herod. And I simply had to pay. It was a simple compulsion, and now my guilt is washed away. Oh, it's just a simple compulsion, the kind you had before. It's just a simple compulsion, like a kid in a candy store. It's just a longing, yearning, craving that you live with night and day. It's just a simple compulsion that washes all the guilt away. Excuses are familiar to both me and you. Why, you can hear them from Main Street to Pennsylvania Avenue. But though all the best intentions, our
instincts may betray. God bless that simple compulsion that washes all the guilt away.
It's just a simple compulsion, the kind you had before. It's just a simple compulsion, like a kid in a candy store. It's just a longing, yearning, craving that you live with night and day. It's just a simple compulsion that washes all the guilt away.
What'd you say?
It's just a simple compulsion that washes all the guilt away.
Preach it, brother.
It's just a simple compulsion that washes all the guilt away.
A simple compulsion from my album On This Mountain. Been listening to these shows online but would like to hear them on the radio, tell your local Catholic station. Free Expression with Bill Castle is available for broadcast free of charge. Ask your Catholic station to contact us by email, billcastle@sbcglobal.net. That's billkassel, all one word, billcastle@sbcglobal.net. And don't forget to support your local station. In this time of censorship and so-called cancel culture, Catholic radio is becoming increasingly important as an alternative media source. Our programming is based on the Word of God and the teaching of His Church, and we bring you the factual, truthful information you aren't getting from the mainstream media. Support Catholic radio. Your generosity keeps Catholic outlets on the air, and donations to broadcast ministries can be tax-deductible. Urge your friends and relatives to tune in as well. Be with us next time when we explore other aspects of religious communication and look deeper into the great Christian heritage of free expression. Free Expression with Bill Castle is a production of Good Shepherd Catholic Radio and Company Publications, where good books, good music, and good radio are always good company. Dan Curris provided technical assistance. Theme and incidental music are by Dan Adam. The program was produced and directed by Bill Castle. This is Good Shepherd Catholic Radio.